Welcome to episode 12 of the Steaming Steamers or the Steaming Streamers podcast. We have a special guest interviewer today. House is out trundling around under the 40 degree heat, and we've got Tom Boyle in to help us with our interview tonight. How are you going, Tom?
Yeah, good. G'day, guys.
We're interviewing Reece LeCornu, who's been around playing rugby with the club for a very, very long time, on and off. How you going, Reece?
Yeah, well, thank you. How's everybody going here?
Yeah, good. Good. Nice tasty beer.
I see your beard's coming along, firstly. That looks good.
It's a work in progress. It's a monthly or a two-monthly thing. Just let it grow and then shave it off.
Reece just said it'd be like Mike, did she?
Be like Mick.
So tell us, we'll go back and to our normal modus operandi. When did you first sort of get involved with the Steamers?
So when I first moved to Albury, we had a look at doing stuff with the Steamers. There was juniors for Blake, which is my little brother, who's also played a long time.
So when was that? What year was that?
2001.
Oh, right. Wow.
So that's when I first approached. But there was nothing for my... There was no 16s. No 18s, it was only third grade, and so I was scratched then.
Yeah.
So after that, went away for a bit, and then come back in 2007.
Oh, so you went away for like uni and stuff, or did your family move away?
Yeah, no, I worked on the grapevines for a few years. I was just out and about,
living
in
South
Australia. Yep. Yeah, and then come back and started uni and started playing rugby for the Steamers.
So who were you? What were you studying at uni?
Accounting.
All right, which is where you're at now.
Very much so.
All right. Yes. Now, feel free, Tom, if you've got any questions,
jump in.
So 2007, what do you remember about that year? Or you were already planned to come back to the Steamers when you come back into Albury?
Look, I hadn't played rugby for since I was under 15, so it was a long in-between period, and I hadn't played for a long time. I do remember my first training that year. I ate a pizza.
Yeah,
and
perfect. What was the what sort of pizza?
Hawaiian. Let's just say Hawaiian, but it's the pineapple. Come up at training.
The old pineapple boy.
Pineapple. Yeah, that's why it should have been a pepperoni. Where were you playing? Where did you play rugby when you were 15? Where was
Forbes? So started under 13s till under 15s.
Okay. So they had a juniors comp. Was it a good juniors comp up there?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah,
they just followed the seniors. It was, if Forbes were in Dubbo, the whole club was
and
in Dubbo.
And what got you into rugby as a kid?
Dad. Dad played for Eastwood as a kid.
We've got a lot of connections at Eastwood.
Mm. Yeah.
From not all related, just random connections to Eastwood.
Yeah. No, it's quite a club that a lot of Steamers or related people have played at. Yeah. So Dad grew up in Sydney, played... went to not sure what school, none of the big rugby schools, Epping Boys, I think, and then the Eastwood was the local rugby club there.
So he's a bit of a player too, Barry, isn't he?
Supposedly really good.
Yeah. Is he getting better as he gets older?
No, just he snapped his Achilles, and I think.
No, I mean, is his stories about his career getting better? Was he like? Do you remember it turning from a 30-meter try to a 60-meter try for him?
I never remember him telling me about his tries. His was always very much focused, what I was focused on, is tackling, beating the player or...
Oh, so he's a normal balanced dad.
Yeah. So he wasn't a glory.
He's a proper father. All right, so 2007, what was... who were the coaches? Who was the captain, the senior players? Who was the group you walked into? And how old were you when you...
So 2007, I would have been 22.
Oh, okay. So you were still pretty young.
I guess so. Yes.
Yeah. And Blake was playing.
So Blake must have been. He was under 18s that year.
Oh, okay.
So that was my first taste of success. When I joined the Steamers, because the under 18s were amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was Girlwood, Sam Devlin, JP.
JP Meinhardt.
Meinhardt, yes. Who else is in that?
Tommy Rowan, guys like that. Liam Krauts.
Krauts,
is that when they got Flav in? It was
he might have come in a bit later than that, I think. Yeah, he's a bit younger.
Anyway, they all grew up together, playing together, and that under-18s, I remember going to the game. Blake's was playing on the wing because his shoulder wouldn't stay in place.
A Lacornu shoulder that wouldn't stay in place.
He was there to just kick goals.
Yeah.
What a trait.
Everyone else just, Devo just ran the team, and yeah, they won that year, and then back to my house, two kegs, great party. Yeah. Driver was in there, Raging Bull.
Oh, okay, great. So that's, because that has flow-on effect in 2012 and 13, 14, that team. Because I think they won one of those grand finals was like 13 players or something. Might have been the under-16s they won.
Yeah, look, that they had a just that whole group. Every second year, they would get back together.
Yeah,
because Blake was a year old and Devo and JP and that.
Yeah,
so every second year, they get back together. Simsy was the coach.
Great coach for that age group, like really technically minded and intense.
Yeah,
and what you need for that year.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
great. So you've seen some success. 2007.
I have a medallion to prove it.
Did you play?
No.
So you have Blake's medallion? Who's
medallion? I don't know. There was a spare medallion, and I think I still have it in my drawer.
You earned it as a training partner.
Yeah. We'll say that. Kicking.
The water boy gets a glory medal.
Me, Devo, Blake were always down at league ground, kicking Greenfield. Goals from halfway.
Yeah.
Always.
From straight in the middle or from the side?
In the middle of when we're at halfway, but otherwise. Yeah. Try the side.
Did you ever kick one?
I did.
In a game?
Mm-hmm. Not in a game, but training. We kicked a few from 50.
Now, I will have, if House was here, I will say on his behalf that he'll talk about the ones Blake missed during games. But
That's for another subject, isn't it, that day?
And Blake will get the right of reply on that. But that's just on the behalf of House.
Look, I don't know if it just runs in the family, but pressure's not a huge thing that, you know, I can kick, but when it comes to situation...
If you put money on it,
I'm gone.
So 2007, you started playing senior rugby.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the coaches, the captains, the leaders?
So Don coming in as coach there.
Don Cameron?
Yep.
Yep.
Then I guess the leaders, I think Mick Alexander was playing.
So Mick was still playing. Yep.
Who else? No, it was Lolbach's first year.
Was that his first year? Your first year? Oh, okay.
Come the same time. Just trying to think. There was Aaron Willen, Buna,
No.
Benny Arnold.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good player.
Yeah, no, he was very good.
Yeah. So you've got, what grade were you playing that year?
I was probably just hoping to just come into seconds and have a bit of a run, and pretty sure Don lined me up, 10. In first grade.
Oh, really?
I hadn't played for a long time.
Straight in the deep end.
I think the one thing I didn't forget was how to tackle, but ball skills and stuff like that was a big long.
What's your preferred position? Because you played sort of probably, you know, 12.
The only part I haven't played is probably the front row.
Okay. Which would be your preferred position?
Look, I really like seven.
Yeah.
Seven's just, you just get around the field, you just got to go to the next thing.
You're not the next
It's not...
Job.
It's
you don't
not,
have to think about it too much, do you?
The backs is good. I really liked inside centre, but defensively, it's so hard out there when it's just a one-on-one situation.
And if you're getting picked by your opposite number, you really stand out.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, I will say on the record that you're one of the better sevens I've seen at the club for sure. So. And it's a bit easier, like I said, without House here having his opinion. How did you enjoy that year? Was it a social year? Was it a rugby year?
It was a great year. Like, it was a great introduction to the club. The playing was not great. Developed slowly and didn't hardly win any games.
Yeah.
But off the field, great.
Where were you drinking?
Must have been Star Hotel. And we were there every Friday. We were there every Saturday if we were at home. It was a very social club.
Yeah.
Such an enjoyable year. Lots of bus trips.
Yeah.
Because it moved from the Star to the Garrow.
Yeah.
In that time then. Yeah.
They must have moved to the Garrow about 2010, 11?
Yes. Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, because 13.
Must have been 2 years at the Star, I reckon. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
2007, 2008, and probably 2009.
Right, okay.
Out to the north side.
Yeah.
Dan Burke has said he'd be up for a podcast too at some point.
Oh, yeah. Good.
He'd have a view. So do you remember any bus trips and any what's the unpublishable stuff you remember through those dodgy years, you know, the 2007, 8, 9, and started to heat up a bit?
Look, there was a couple of good trips to Canberra. We went, I think, there was a lot of, went to the Crusaders game, Brumbies, yeah. Crusaders game one time. We were in the taxi turning into Bruce Stadium and bang, a bus ran into the side of the...
Jesus.
To the taxi. And we just kind of, I think it was Nindy, just got shattered in glass. What someone, I think, had a bit of a kink neck.
Nindy was Chupa Chup. Is that what Gibbo calls him?
Chupa Chup? Good old Nindy. When he first come here, we were just in the taxi and we just got home. And I must have been a little bit drunk or something and said something they didn't like. And he just grabbed me around the throat. Yeah. We're friends. Okay, it's all right.
So what time do you reckon that taxi ride was?
Oh, that would have been 3, 4 a.m. Early night, probably.
Now, to be fair, too, Reese is one of the stayers of the pub. There's only two or three guys that I've known over my 12, 13, 14 years that can really stay, and I'm not one of them, but House and Reese are two of the long haul guys.
Yeah, I've got to agree. At the end of the night, there's always two pests left.
Look, Kayla says it's just I get FOMO. I don't want to miss out.
So do you slow down your drinking? Give us some tips on how to be awake at 5 o'clock in the morning.
It's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Take your time.
Look, with the steamers, you generally don't get that option all the time.
Yeah.
Drinking wrong hand, got two beers. It's a marathon.
When did the rugby start improving, the steamers rugby?
Every year, 2007, you know, where we started to where we finished was always an improvement. 8 to 9, I think was a more improvement. I guess we got some better players and stuff as
started
we did.
Coming
so
in.
Probably, I would say probably 2009.
Yeah.
2007 and 2008 were very social years.
Yeah. Which is, that builds your bonds up and stuff.
100%. Yeah. You know, there was a really, it felt like we were all really close. We were always at the pub together. We were always, you know, training together. Yeah. Gaming, buses, you know, there wasn't a lot of car trips. So not individual stuff, but all together.
Yeah.
You really got to have those lull years, don't you? Like every club goes through them, but they always help develop.
If for the guys that hang in there, you know, you need the half a dozen, the 10 guys that hang in there, they sort of, and women as well, like, you can see what we were talking about with Emma Clements the other day, where for the women that hung in there that year where they had that sudden success, it wasn't a sudden success. They'd been together for quite a few years, and it's well-earned, you know. It's a hard-earned thirst.
Yeah, and that's what it takes, is developing those combinations and just learning to play with those people, knowing what they're going to do before they actually do it.
So Don was a coach through this whole period?
Don was a coach, yes.
And what do you remember about the years when you started to play finals? So you're probably pretty solid in first grade all the time by now.
Look, yes and no. I was very, you know, always starting first, but then, you know, there was a few good guys. Johnny Scott come in, and so me and him were battling out for 12.
Yeah.
I don't think I played 7 then. So we had Louie.
Louie and guys like that.
Who else? I guess I was always just a bit smaller, so I was never really classed as a 7 until one day I think that they just stuck me in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, always just 1s, 2s, both, playing both.
You're the sort of guy who would happily play 3 games a day if you could fit it in.
Well, rugby's an enjoyable game.
Yeah, for sure. So the first year you started, you made finals. What do you remember about that? Like, so 2009, 2010.
2009, 2010. So I'm not sure who we got knocked out.
So you probably got Mick and Jim are your captains, sort of.
Yeah. So Jim was what, 2009?
Yeah. Did Mick get injured through 2009? And
I think so.
So Mick Alexander got injured, and Jim Lolbeck took over.
Yeah.
And you've got Louis. You've got a. You're starting to build up a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then 1 year, we got Red, we got Lukey Bertram, Stevie Bright. You know, that must have been about 2009.
Yeah, yeah.
Adrian Cush.
Yeah.
So that developed our backs a lot. And we had some big forwards. I'm pretty sure we used some of the Nico on that.
Nico, so Adam Nixon would have been around then. So he finished in 2011.
Yeah, right. So he
had a couple of years. Yeah.
Yeah,
so Red, Adrian Carey.
Yeah,
yeah. He owes me a tooth, I will point out.
Yeah, well, he's pretty strong now, isn't he?
He loves his CrossFit.
Jesus.
Well, he did get in touch too with House at one point. So we're going to, or me, or both of us actually.
Oh, nice.
Chatted. So we'll interview Red.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll get my tooth back and we'll chat about his time with the Steamers.
So I guess we just. Started to develop, got a bit better. Look, the finals, to be honest, one final, it was against Reddy's, I think about 2010, and I tackled some guy and his knee went straight into my elbow and it tore the tendon off the bone. So I ran to the sideline, got mum to strap it up. Actually, it was another physio to strap it up. It did nothing. I played the rest of the game.
And that was that.
Didn't get it checked. Didn't see till the next year, and in pre-season I made a tackle and my elbow just dislocated. So after that, went and got an MRI, found out that the muscle had been torn off, and so I had needed surgery. So I missed the start of that season.
The 2010?
Yeah, I
think right.
Must have been a rare occasion for old Mother Jackie to not be there.
She was there. She just wasn't physio for the day.
So just for those that don't know, Jackie LaCorne is a club physio, whatever one of her children was playing.
Yes, for a very long time.
The so you're 2010. Coming into the next few years, where we started to get into grand finals and stuff, how did you see that from your perspective?
Oh, look, I just enjoyed being at training, around the group. You know, to me, it doesn't matter. We're winning, losing. I just enjoy the camaraderie, you know.
Yeah.
At training, I love training. It's just always something I've loved to do. Just go around, kick the footy with the boys.
How would you run a? So you went and did some coaching down in Melbourne, Footscray. We'll talk about Footscray. That a bit later, but
yep.
With Footscray Juniors.
Mm-hmm.
How would you? So how? What would you see about running a training session if it was on your terms to run a senior training session? Or a year, what would you have a modus operandi?
A pardon?
A way, how would you do it? Would you be structured in doing drills, passing drills? Drills,
look,
would you do game runs?
About
would
basics,
you do...
basic and solid contact.
So basics is pass, tackle,
yeah.
Positioning, that sort
draw
of stuff.
And pass, you know, yeah. Tackling low, especially with the ruck, accurate cleaning out.
Yeah.
To me, I think that's a big thing. Other than that, you know, running hard, running low.
And you would have more competitive training sessions than we might normally? Do you see value in that?
Yes, but I also like fitness a lot as well.
Yeah.
You know, fitness is a big part.
Would you... So we have... As a club, any club has probably about 80 hours of training from the start to the grand final.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's where they've got to get everything achieved. So that's from the first ball of fitness to the contact to hands to skills to gameplay to patterns to all of everything we've got. We've got about 80 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think fitness should be what portion of that 80 hours? Like,
yeah, look, that's a hard one. With local rugby, you can't guarantee those guys are going to be doing their own fitness.
Well, you can almost know that they're not.
Yeah, pretty much. Look, it's always encouraged too, but, you know, not many people take that option. I guess you've just got to have your drills that you're trying to learn the skills and the gameplay and incorporate it with fitness.
Running them at a high pace, yeah. Or just keep continually running.
Like 80 hours, I guess, is not very much.
It's when you say it like that, I know, it doesn't sound like much, does it?
No. 2 weeks of work.
Yeah, and I know when I was coaching, we had, of that 80 hours, there was about 30 taken up with the pre-season, easily. And where the club wouldn't have seen a ball.
Yeah. Look, I think a lot of the times that the Steamers had success was when we had a good pre-season. And we did something that really drilled us down hard, so we had to work together. Yeah. The ones that come to mind is Falls Creek.
Yeah.
Totally. That was bloody hard. I just remember running up that mountain with that huge rope that we're all attached
to.
Yeah. Both were Falls Creeks. They were tough.
Yeah.
Tough slogs. And then we did the Bogong walk that time.
Yeah, we did a few mountain walks.
Really good. Like I think Table things top. Like that, you know, they really, that yeah. with a bus trip, you know, yeah, everyone yeah. getting drunk together, those yeah. things really yeah. Promote team bonding and yeah, stuff like yeah. that.
We'd add those hard yards and a bit of fun and excitement at the end.
And you get to know those off. People who you don't normally talk to
yeah.
because you're stuck with them.
You're stuck with
you're
them.
You're running yeah. next to them with a freaking bro.
Yeah. And you have to buy in. Like if you sacrifice like a weekend up at Falls Creek where you bust your guts, then you're effectively saying I'm going to buy in, because when it, you know, when you start playing, mm-hmm. and you go, well, hold on, I didn't do that back 3 months ago to wipe out here. Mm-hmm. I did that 3 months ago because, you know, I've made a sacrifice already, so I've earned the right to, you know, go harder here. You know, like you sort of pay that price early.
Yeah, no, for sure.
All right, so you like a fit team, you like a well drilled team. The Steamers through, you know, that 12, 13, 14 when we started to play grand finals and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the, we did a lot of good solid pre-seasons, but we also had players come in.
We had very good players come in.
And they built it up as well. How did you enjoy that? Were you part of those 4 years?
Yes. So, well, not 14, and partway through 13. So 12, I guess we got beat by Aggies that year, but we had a lot of guys come in that year. Who did we have then? Wilmore?
No, he didn't come.
He came at the end of year 14.
Yeah, so who are we? Definitely Brighty. Wheats was playing.
I don't. Yeah, Wheats
played in 12.
12.
Because he was going to kick that goal,
and
we got the penalty, but Deansy didn't want to give us that penalty. Gave the other team the penalty. Fuck, I remember that. It hit that rock and he just blew it up. And he reckons we were going off our feed.
Was that... Well, Brighty blames himself for it.
Well, look, I was at that rock as well.
There's some sort of...
I'm pretty sure Deansy just didn't like Brighty.
Yeah. How could you not? There is some really grainy footage which Nathan Bright carries around on his phone. And he'll show it to you. Of that whole thing, yeah. And you look at it and you think, This is the footage from the JFK assassination from the grassy knoll. Like, you can barely see what's going on, and Brighty's going, look at what happens, and, you know, so if you see Brighty, bail him up and have a look at the footage from the grassy knoll.
I would
love
to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still a big sore point for Brighty.
Yeah.
And look, I guess that gave us a big incentive to 13.
Yeah. If we had won that game in 2012, then you're looking at a bunch of guys that might have said, we've won it.
Yes, but we still got more players.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've got the two Welsh guys. We chased them.
Jimmy and Scotty.
But we had the uni students come in.
Yeah, yeah.
So you had some quality uni students come in. Now, you played a big part from 2007 of getting uni students into the club.
Yeah.
What did you used to do?
O-Week.
We'll come back to 2013.
Yeah, O-Week, we just used to set up a stall.
So O-Week's the first week of uni.
Yep, and there was it was stall day, so league was out there, you know, shops, whatever were out there, and just giving away some free stuff, and we used to get together, what is it, in the sheds.
Yeah.
make up a little plastic bag full of stuff and just try and hand it out and get some guys to come and play rugby and girls.
What sort of players do you remember coming through that system? Because you did that for 6 years, 5 or 6 years.
Well, I was there for 5.5 years, so probably not. My 3-year degree taking me 5.5 years. But
let's not talk about how long the degree is.
Rugby took over, so yeah.
It takes as long as it takes, mate.
But yeah, you know, that's where we got Red. Adrian Carey, Lukey Bertram, Adrian Cush, all studying podiatry or physio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were just a good, fun, social bunch.
Yeah.
It was really good times.
So would you take on that again? Like, not you personally, but do you think we should find a way to...
It cannot hurt to get a stall there for a couple of hours, give away a few free things and hope to get some players.
I think the dynamics changed a bit because they don't let you do the market day until about a month after A-Week. So market days, and we're competing with the Mud Dogs.
The Mud Dogs,
and they've already got their foot in the door, so... Yeah. We need to probably think outside the square to get back into the uni before or through A-Week.
Because you're right, because I did it for a fair few years there where the whole dynamic of the uni there has changed, like the whole drinking culture's nearly gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's minimal. The part of the uni bar's not even open anymore. The cafe's not even open anymore.
Okay. It's been a long time since I've been out there.
Yeah. So, like, you've got that huge dynamic change where, and, like, people are more just coming here just to study rather than coming here for a bit of a good time and, like, a good catch-up.
Yeah.
And, but I think you're also going to have the right people go to the events that connect with the other uni students, and whether it be a uni student themselves... or just recently graduated,
And that always helps. If you've got someone, already from uni, who's there, who knows people, who's just stopping people past, and stuff.
And
like
hence
that.
Why the Mud Dogs have such a good, foothold, because they're just uni students that are just keep taking over, and it just keeps developing.
Well, bloody Sam Seaton and Dave Cunningham. They need to let it go.
Buddy Sammy. He was with us.
So you're 2013. So you haven't seen a first grade grand final at the Steamers.
Well, I saw
2012. Yeah, 2012. You haven't seen us one.
Well, I saw the under-18s.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Which two kegs at your place? So how many kegs did they have at your place after 2013?
Well, none, because I didn't participate.
Were you around?
Yes. Yeah. So I played. I started the season.
You did your shoulder.
Yeah.
So you guys both know what would happen if you got injured.
Yeah.
So what would happen if you got injured in 2013? What happened, basically?
You didn't even have to get injured.
No.
I went away for a weekend and I lost my spot and I never got back in.
Yeah, well, it was competitive.
And that's how it was. It was so competitive. You could not.
Which is why we won. First grade, second grade.
Yeah. I remember Adam Clements actually played first 5 or 6 games in that first grade on the wing. And then he got injured or something and that was it for him. Yeah. He couldn't get back in.
Yeah, so must have been, 4 or 5 games in. I was actually starting at fullback.
Yeah.
Of all the places.
Where, really?
Yeah, I was because
it was at home,
fullback.
Too.
Yep, it was at home. It was against
Where Tuna. Was Jimmy Olds playing?
Well, I'll get to that part.
Ah, right, go on.
So, just before the game, Jimmy Olds rocks into the thing. He just flew in. Just got there that day.
So this wasn't at the start, this was a few weeks in.
Oh, this is partway through the season.
Oh, right.
Jimmy didn't come till later in the season.
Mm. Oh, right.
And then something happened. A grubber went through and it just got past me and I just stuck my arm out and a dude just landed straight on his knee, straight into my shoulder and just pop.
And was that you for the year?
That was done, yeah. I needed shoulder reconstruction.
I remember watching. Running back and watching just old mate's knee plow into your shoulder. Mm. And I was like,
I remember it clear as day and it still freaks
Were the Steamers up and running by then? Because they sort of spluttered a little bit at the start of the year, the first couple of games. They sort of They weren't sure.
Look, maybe, but we didn't lose.
No, you hadn't lost a game. You didn't lose a game.
Look, they probably weren't as big as what we were winning at the end of the season.
By the end, it was just something else.
Yeah, it just evolved over the season, didn't it?
It did.
Because that first game was...
Jimmy Olds made a big impact when he
played. Yeah, yeah. And
did it was only because I gave up my spot.
You retired, temporarily retired, because you thought he'd come out from Wales. I better give him a run.
Sacrifice.
So this is your elbow. You've done your elbow one year. You've done your shoulder another year. Right. How was the rest of the year for you? Like... Is it a bit bittersweet, or you just still enjoy it?
A little bit.
Did you still run on for a few twos games?
Nah, not that year. I tried my best, but the MRI come back pretty bad.
Yeah.
So there's no way it was coming out. It was coming out every time I got hit. So went into surgery, got that done as quick as I could.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just the end of the year, I was just in the sling, just with my probably four beers in there, and just... yelled at the Steamers. It was great season.
That was it was something else.
That's the best one I've been part of.
Yeah.
How good we were.
Yeah, yeah. And how much fun they had as well. Like once, because I think there was a lot of pressure on the leadership group, you mm-hmm. know, like on the Bridey and Wall and Steve Stone and guys like that who were up front. They were feeling the pressure, even though...
And look, I guess it was a bit of a change because that was Steve and Walt's first year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And just a bit of a new game plan. I think everyone just really bought into it and led at the front by Richie, you know, running at everybody, just passing it to anyone who's beside him.
So what did you see in the change in the game plan? Because the club was sort of built, you know, it was already built by 2019, 11, 12. It was patterns were built, the structure was there. We could win a scrum, we could win a line out, we could win phase play. What was the next step that Wall sort of took, I guess?
Oh, it was 100% around the corner. I don't know if it just generates a lot more momentum because you're not just standing there getting the ball, but coming around the corner, just...
So pushing the rucks out a little bit wider, forcing your forwards to run a little bit more, and motion, just everything still in motion the whole time.
And so, yeah, it was great. That game plan worked perfectly for us, you know. And like I said just before, Richie just directing, just telling everyone where to be, what to do.
I remember watching opposition teams and they would be on the back foot for so long. I guess these clubs just coming around the corner and you've got some big plates of meat coming around.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd eventually get the ball. And the defence would be pretty sharp by then because you've got Shishka and guys like this that could just hold.
Shishka, Frenchie. Frenchie's one of the best tackles you'll ever see.
Yeah, and then eventually the halfback would give up. Like he would just, I've got no one to pass to. He'd run around the corner and try a kick. It was pretty phenomenal to watch. Mm. So what did you do the grand final?
Just partied as hard as everyone else, I guess.
You would have partied a little bit harder. You would have
probably. We ended up with someone's out in East Albury, I think. Was it? No, I can't remember.
He ended up at our place for a little bit. Might have been on the Sunday night. Friday, Saturday night.
It was a big weekend.
Big weekend, and it still goes. Still was going on the Monday.
Yeah. Down the Star, I think we were, didn't we?
Yeah. I reckon. I reckon people have been getting kicked out of there on Monday night about 6 o'clock because families having dinner.
Yeah.
So 2014, so you had it. That was a great year. You were part of it. You were part of the what built up through the year. What happened in 2014?
I think still recovery. I lost.
You didn't play a part of that all year?
I think I got a run. 15, I come back.
15, so 14, we struggled for numbers. It was just, we had one team, basically. And 15, we had one team as well, but you became part of that.
I was definitely around. Did I play at the end?
You're on the field. You came off the bench in the grand final, so you must have been. You must have come good.
That was 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember that. So I was good towards the end of the season. I think I started playing a bit of second grade.
In 14.
And then in 15.
In 15, yeah.
I don't think I played 14.
No. So how was that? Because that's a different type of grand final for you.
Well, that was good. Richie's nose got blown open.
Yeah.
So they're like, Reece, you're on. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so you were on and off and on and off.
Yeah, yeah. So probably got 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, whistle blew. I was off
tell
the field.
Tell us, walk us through what happened once the whistle blew. So just to paint the picture, Waratahs had jumped out on us a bit. And we'd won every game all year, like 50 points. We'd had a pretty good year.
Mm-hmm.
They had jumped out on us in a bit. There's a rumour that Richie ran through them when they were two tries up, saying, it's not enough, boys, that sort of thing. And it was an intense game, and they came at us pretty hard.
Yep.
We had some concussions. Richie's nose blew open, this sort of thing. But we had a two-try hero. Hugh Irwin got us over the line. congratulations on Hugh at his buck party the other day, and he's well on the way to getting married.
Oh, nice.
What happened once that whistle blew? So we managed to get over the line.
Yeah, so whistle blew. I was just sitting with the reserves and flew onto the field to congratulate.
You flew onto the field for another reason.
Because we won the grand final. Next thing, Ash LaFlavor is about to get punched in the back of the head. And, well, what do you do?
You were already running.
I was already running, and I flattened the biggest prop I've ever seen.
I just want to clear that. So, right, Reece ran past me at full tilt and levelled himself parallel to the ground about 4 feet and went into the middle of the back of, I can't remember who it was. It was one of their angry props. And you carved him in half. But the Florida whistle had already gone, so they couldn't do anything about it.
It was a big Wiggs.
Big what?
Wiggs. James Daly.
No, it wasn't Adrian Strauss. It was the other guy. Wiggum. Yeah, Chief Wiggum. He's got to be a no prop I know with more nicknames.
So it was on the news. I had the footage for a little bit, but I cannot find it.
Oh, it's still kicking around. I see it every now and then.
Love to see it again.
Yeah. So that was that the end of your Steamers senior career?
Yes. Well,
because you moved to Melbourne.
Yeah. And then 16, we moved to Melbourne.
And what happened in Melbourne? What did you do in Melbourne?
Footscray was the closest rugby club. So I went down and just did some training and had a few games and got a bit hurt, which is what generally happens. And there was some juniors training, and so I just wandered on over, and the guy looked like he needed a bit of help. So I just said, look, I can give you a hand if you want.
Yeah.
And then I started under 10s.
And
that's great.
Were they largely Islanders and stuff like that?
The whole club is largely Islanders.
Yeah. How was that? Because you're leaving the Steamers, and it's not a big Islander club at the time.
No.
And you've gone into a different culture.
Yeah, look, the rugby culture is different, but we still all love the same game.
You love the same game.
So I'll get on with anyone who loves rugby.
Yeah, totally.
Whether it's... you know, someone from New Zealand, someone from England.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Rugby, rugby and me just go together.
Out of what's Kayla's take on rugby?
Oh, look, she's not largely into it.
How about when you were playing? Was Kayla?
Look, she's not a wife who comes down and watches. No. She's just go and do your stuff. Don't get too hurt.
And don't annoy me when you come home at 4 a.m.
Yeah, pretty much. Or call me when you're out.
Yeah, no, don't ring up asking for a lift.
Yeah.
So the how'd the coaching go? So you coached from 2016 to 2022 or something, 21?
Well, 21, 22 got really broken up by COVID. So still going till then until we moved back. So end of 22.
How? What sort of success did you have at Footscray? How did you enjoy it?
So look, we started off, it was very hard to get a full team. You know, we were always a bit light on. But as the years progressed, those same kids kept coming back.
The same
back.
Kids, are the same thing we've been talking about.
And every year we got a bit better. Definitely 2019, I think, we made the grand final.
Oh, wow.
A lot of politics in Victorian rugby, and it's some kids weren't allowed to play because they weren't dispensated, yet the other team was allowed to have their state players and whatnot. Yeah. So a few guys, I think two or three guys who had come from another club just because they had too many players, were not allowed to play the grand final. because they didn't get clearance from the other team. Like, we're talking under 12s here. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
When you're telling kids they can't play rugby because of something, to me that's what's wrong with Australian rugby. No one should be
not allowed to play.
Penalised. Yeah. We're struggling for numbers as it is in every grade, juniors, seniors, anything.
Get them playing. So you've come back to the Steamers at about 22 or something?
22, end of 22. So.
And you...
23.
You took up a coaching role?
I helped out last year with the Steamers, with House and Bridie, just to...
How'd you find that?
I really enjoyed it. It's a lot different to coaching kids. Adults mostly listen. Kids are not sure.
I think I'd rather coach kids.
Sometimes.
So how was the coaching different from 2013 when you were sort of last, or 4-12 when you were Don and that were coaching, and that, did you see a difference in the state of the club? Because that's a, you know, that's nearly 10 years.
Look, probably... probably people weren't as motivated, I think, at training.
Yeah.
You'd often get there, people early, there's already people kicking goals,
yeah.
There's a game of touch started. I find at the moment, a lot of standing around, just chatting and things like that.
Is that on-field, sort of off-field leadership?
Almost.
From players. So your coaches and your committees can do all of that, but you need... you need that half a dozen players that just get it.
Which is that leadership group kind of thing.
Getting
to training early, just starting, just getting everyone warmed up before you start training, so everyone's ready.
Dialed in,
instead of the coach with his 80 hours to choose.
Yeah, he doesn't have
it. Warming up, if you took that out of the equation, you know, you've got an extra...
Half hour, 40, rather than wasting time. Exactly. So we've talked about your rugby career, we've touched on your coaching, your playing, all that sort of stuff. There is one other constant in your rugby life, which we haven't talked about yet, fantasy rugby.
Ooh.
Where, describe, you introduced me to fantasy rugby, so how long have you been doing, what is fantasy rugby?
Okay.
But so this is, pretend you're trying to sell it to someone who doesn't know much about fantasy rugby but likes rugby.
Okay, so I guess fantasy rugby is you're just working on an app, on a computer, browser, picking a team from the actual rugby that gets played.
So the Super Rugby or World Cup or whatever tournaments are going.
Yep, and you know, you get points on based on what stats they produce. So you make a tackle, you get a point. You make a run, you get a point.
What do you enjoy more, fantasy rugby or coaching rugby?
Look, players don't talk back in fantasy rugby.
No. And you can drop them, but they don't suck.
But there's no huge payoff in fantasy rugby compared to, you know, winning a premiership as a coach.
Yeah.
Couldn't beat that.
Nah.
Saying that, I've had plenty of good.
So you've set up the competition called RLRU.
RLRU. So this.
How many times do you reckon you've won that in the 15 odd years it's been going?
So I reckon Blake introduced me back in Fox Sports 2007, 2008 maybe.
Yeah.
Just got into it. I was like, what can I call my my rugby union comp?
And what's Reece it called?
Reece LeCornu Rugby Union.
So the comp, this is a comp we all play in. It's called RLRU. And it took me 5 or 6 years to figure out Reece named it after himself. How many times do you reckon you've won that?
It's probably easy to say how many times I haven't.
Oh.
It's been probably the last 3 years since I've had children.
So you started to fall away a bit.
It's definitely downgrading. Yeah.
We've got another guest interviewer. Angus has just rolled in. He just said, shush, don't talk to me, but we've just thrown him right under the bus. So if fantasy rugby, get on it.
Yeah, look.
It
makes the games a little bit more interesting because you're really going for that player.
So we're just
on an average. I'll just butt in. On an average, how many hours a week do you spend building your team?
If you asked me this 10 years ago, I would probably say 8 hours. Now I'm down to about an afternoon before I get here on Friday.
So you've cut it down a lot.
It's because you've refined your skill set here.
Yeah,
we need to be clear.
It's more about watching, right?
So we know, like, we're watching the Hurricanes and Crusaders at the moment. We know Jordy Barrett's a bust. Like, he's got minus 2 points in his first two games. He's out for three games or six or three.
What do you get?
So even when he gets back, he's going to lose money.
Yeah.
So he's an end-of-season project for people like you and me.
Maybe. Cam Roygaard's your man who you need in this week. That's who I...
So Cam Roygaard or Xavier Rowe? We had a chat
Xavier
about
Rowe's coming off the bench.
If Xavier Rowe was starting...
At price or just...
At price. So Xavier Rowe's cheap.
A third of the price.
And yeah, Roygaard's at primo price.
Yeah. Xavier Rowe's probably going to get you the most
money
per how much it's worth.
But Roygaard will get you the most.
Roygaard's the better player,
yeah,
by far. He's got amazing... He's the quickest. He's done the quickest Bronco for All Blacks.
Did he really?
Ever.
Really?
So he beat Bowden Barrett's whatever his awesome.
So this is what makes you a rugby fan, is that you know that. The only other person I think that would know that would be Howe. He wouldn't know what a Bronco was, but he'd know something about that.
Yeah. Well, yes. I enjoy rugby and...
Who of the players you've seen play in the Steamers, who's the best fantasy player? Who's the fantasy go-to player you would have? So, and we'll just clear up. I know we're digressing a bit here, but the fantasy players and rugby players don't necessarily line up in that. Like Michael Hooper was never a good fantasy player. You know, he might make 30 tackles, but getting penalised, two penalties and no tries, you sort of go, whatever.
Sam Allen.
I think he'd be a great call. Just, like line breaks, metres gained. He wouldn't miss many tackles.
You know what? Matt Cook. He used to bust a lot of tackles.
Tackle busts, yeah.
A lot.
Tackle busts.
Fuck, he was hard to tackle. He had a forearm guard.
Yeah.
I don't know. He had something wrong here.
Yeah.
And he would just get that.
And pump, yeah.
And he was...
So I remember Griffith turned up in 2014 grand final with all the arm guards. They had... Full of metal. None of them had sore arms. It's just those last... That final series.
They had shoulders and... Sore shoulders and...
Yeah. Yeah. Pat... So, all right, we're just winding up. Before we do, though, we do ask everyone the three best players you've seen or played with at the Steamers, you know, in your time. And it's, you know, one for 1 point. So up to three is the three-pointer.
Okay.
Who's your best three?
I've heard this on the other few, so I've given it a bit of thought.
All right.
And to me, it's players who I have enjoyed playing with.
Yeah.
So 1 point for me went to Hoss Robb,
the halfback.
Yes.
What was his name again?
Kerry
Robb. Yeah.
Kerry Robb.
There was the one me and House had a bit of an argument because he started ragging on him.
Does House even know him?
They know each other from back in New Zealand, of course. Like they all know each other back in New Zealand.
Well, look, we weren't a great rugby club.
Yeah.
When he came, and he was amazing.
Yeah.
So you know, I guess it's just where we're coming from to what he was doing.
Yeah.
But
he's coming over here apparently.
Oh, good. I hope he comes back.
Because it was presented as he's coming over to play, but then...
He was a really good guy.
He was so funny. 40 or something.
So, we've got a quick story about him.
Yeah, yeah.
I was at the bottom of a ruck, and he's just grabbed the ball and ran, and he was so fast that I couldn't even get my head out of the road, and his knee went straight in my eye and just blew up straight away. I played the rest of the game with one eye, but he was that quick.
I played a rugby career with one eye, but... You know, you guys rate him. Like the guys that have seen him, everyone's rating him.
Just playing with him, it's unreal for that. pre-season, I think, all we had him for.
Four or five games or something. And went off to Russia or somewhere?
Yeah, Russia.
Wow.
Off to Russia, got paid to play. Mm. Who doesn't want to get paid to play rugby? So, got to take that shit. Yeah.
Should we pay players at this level?
Oh, look, if we can afford it, if someone wants to help us, pay for it, absolutely. The club can't,
but if
you can do it, why not? Like, people need a little bit extra now. 100%. Just to commit to.
I agree.
If you're getting a little bit of cash, then you're going to commit a little bit more.
Getting the trainings,
Yeah, maybe it's not cash, but maybe it's fuel vouchers.
Or whatever, yeah. But, I mean, I know there's a definite vibe that they want to stick with, the traditions and all that sort of stuff, but traditions don't pay your rent.
Isn't it in the bylaws or something, it's in the Siri bylaws,
you can't pay players. So you can sort of subsidise them. Yeah, exactly. There is a bit of that. So two points.
Another halfback, Ben Walker.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed playing with him.
What year was that?
About 2012.
Yeah. So he was a cracking guy and a cracking player.
Yeah, such a good guy. Really got on really well with him. Him and Cooper Dunn.
He was a catalyst. So you had Matt Cook brought out Ben Walker, is that right? Ben Walker brought out Cooper Dunn. So those sort of connections for our recruits.
Play it there because Cooper Dunn and Ben played at the same club.
But when Tyron went over to England, played with their club as well.
Yeah. What was their club called?
Kirby
Lonsdale.
Yeah, right. The shittest rugby club in England.
And 3 points.
Yep.
Louis Lovett. I love playing at seven, him at six.
With Gizmo.
We used to, just one of us would tackle low and the next one was open ball.
You had a thing going on.
Just worked really well.
And me and Louis just off the field. I was always at his house.
Well, it's ironic.
He had Foxtel so I could go and watch rugby. So every Friday I would be there.
It's absolutely ironic that you rate Louis Lovett as a player beside you because you would be drinking at 5 a.m. in the morning. He would be done by 5 p.m. at night.
It's 100% true.
So how did you go with him on there? We'd have a few beers with Gizmo. Did you just stay out of his way?
I guess that's what I've learned from staying up all the time is just to tolerate people and just stay on their good side because
if they
who knows what Louis's going to do once he gets a few beers into him.
Well, you know it's going to be over by 9, whatever it is. All right, so that's your 3-2-1. That's great. Tom, any questions? Anything else you'd like to...
I think that was really good, really in-depth. It shows good culture over, the years that you were a part of the club, on my behalf, I really enjoyed having you around the club. You're always the life of the party and still there at the end, looking after your brother after he's passed out.
Angus, you got any important stuff?
Yeah, Angus, what do you got? Where's your 2 cents?
Enough said. we'll do a podcast with you, Tommy, at some point when you're up for it.
Yeah.
Just reach out and we'll book you in. Reese, have you got anything you'd like to add?
No, I'd just like to say thank you very much for this opportunity to have a chat and look forward to maybe doing one in the future.
We are going to do a countdown of the 3-2-1s at the end of the year.
Oh, nice.
Just to see where that stands. And I think it'll be interesting.
Because everyone's perception of how good someone is that they play with is different to everybody.
Absolutely. And that's
whether you're a prop, a halfback would be interesting to get their points of view because they see both sides.
Yeah.
I also think the key word is played with. We've all watched heaps of really good players play around the Steamers. We might not necessarily played with them.
Yeah. Well, we haven't put any rules on our 3-2-1. We don't. We're not that fast with what people come up with. So anyway, we'll get this up online. Make sure you get down to see our sponsors, the Brady's Hotel. If you need a skip bin, get onto Northeast Bin Skip Hire. Northeast Bin Skip Hire. That Tommy and Chuck will look after you. When you listen to the podcast, make sure you follow, share, and like to get it out there. So for 90% of listeners here, go talk to your kids and they'll show you what to do. Because I am getting a few phone calls from anyone over the age of 30 saying, what's a podcast? So, you know, go talk to your kids or your grandkids. Anyway, thank you.